guys. Welcome to the Selling District's Boozy Breakdown.
We're your hosts, Ryan and Caitlin, and today we're going to break down what's going on with the business, our most recent adventure, and our change of scenery.
I know. It is totally different than what we normally do.
Yes.
So typically, we're in the master bedroom doing our little podcast, sitting there by the bed with the dogs, but we decided, hey, let's try something different, and here we are at Jamie Sloan Wines.
We sure are. So Jamie Sloan's a favorite. I don't know if any of you guys have watched our Santa Barbara video. It's the first video that we did. We were at Jamie Sloan. That's where we met them. Then we did a blog post. We did a blog post on Jamie Sloan as well, just because, again, they're good wines, and we wanted to change it up, and they have this cute little reserve room that they do activities in, and we thought, why not take advantage of it?
Yeah, and if you haven't seen that, that was our very first video in Santa Barbara. We'll attach it above, and then at the end of the video, we'll have a link to it.
Yes.
So you guys can check it out and see where we've gone from our very first video experience to where we are now.
It's crazy.
It's totally crazy.
It's nice.
But anyway.
So what are we drinking?
We are drinking the Beaurific Red Blend 2014. I have not even had a sip of this yet.
I know. We've been so busy setting up, we haven't even tasted it.
All right. So we're going to give you guys a little taste test here. We've had this wine before.
It's not a secret.
I think twice before.
It's a favorite. So every
why
time
is
we
it
come,
your favorite?
It's my favorite because, well, really, it's my favorite because it has a cute name. So Beaurific is Jamie's nickname for his wife Kim. So I love that the name made it into the wine, and that's probably what draws me most toward it. But in terms of taste, what are your thoughts?
I think it tastes great. It's got tons of flavor. It's not a robust wine. It's something you can just drink on a nice warm, gloomy day like today. I mean, it's not that warm, though.
It's chilly. It's chilly by California standards.
So they decided, San Diego or California decided May Gray was going to come a little early. It's still April, but it is gray, a little cool, and it's got that little mist going on.
It
so,
does.
I mean, this is still a great wine. It's not quite like a winter wine, but it's a perfect kind of cool spring wine, I think.
It is. It just warms the bones. It's a little fruit forward, which I love, absolutely. It's 57% Merlot.
It says it was aged for 30 months.
22% Cab Franc, 14% Cab Sauv, and 7% Malbec, in case you want to know.
Yep. And we don't know yet. This might be our new hosting location for a few video podcasts that we're going to start doing. We might switch it up, check out different breweries, check out different wineries. But we're going to check this out and see how it goes.
Yeah. And I mean, really segueing right into what's going on with the business is we're trying something new.
Yep.
So we are trying these video podcasts for a little bit, and we may not do it every podcast, but we think it's a really cool way for you guys to experience it a little more with us. The whole point of this is to grab your favorite beverage, whether it's beer, wine, hopefully, or anything else. Sit down and just talk about some of the struggles of a startup and talk about the adventure and give you guys more detail on the back end, you know?
Yeah. Other than the kind of like planning our new strategy for your video podcast, we also got some new business cards going. So everything's been shifted to the new brand, right?
Yes, it has. And that's exciting. That branding thing is one of the best things we did, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're more designed for collaborating, too. So now when we hand them the business card on there, it says, so our new slogan. Our new slogan. So I don't know if you noticed this on our intro video, but it was beer, wine, travel, repeat.
Yes.
And that's going to be our new slogan going forward. Because that's ultimately what we're doing. We're just traveling for beer and wine.
Yeah. And loving every step along the way. You know what I mean?
And we're taking you guys with us.
As always.
But that's it for business, right? Is there anything else?
Those are the big things. I think the business card rounds out the rest of it, which we still don't have yet. And it's kind of sad because this time coming is the first time we've got to meet Jamie. We've met Kim before. We've met Hope. But he handed us business cards. And I'm like, ours are still in the mail. So that was a little awkward for me anyway. But I think that's it. The business cards and then trying this out. Please give us some feedback. Let us know either on iTunes by a review, I'd be honest, or some other way, right?
Yeah. And then we got so much video that we don't use. We're going to try and incorporate some B-roll. So if we bring up some things about, which we're going to talk about soon, our Arizona trip, which is our most recent adventure, and we don't use it in the YouTube video, I think the plan is to kind of incorporate some of that missed B-roll footage into overlaying onto our voices on this video podcast.
Yes.
So it'll be kind of dynamic and fun. It'll be a little bit different than what other people are doing in the video podcast
yeah.
world.
just a blend of us, really. Yeah. And we're going to try to edit that ourselves. It's not a secret that we have a video editor. And if we throw this at her, she might kill us. Sorry, Becca. So we're going to try to edit this one ourselves, but we always have her for backup to save the day.
That's true.
All right. So the adventure. We just got back from Phoenix.
Yep. My hometown.
Yes.
Lived there for 18 years. Left to join the military. Mm-hmm. And every time I go back, I'm like, how in the world did I live 18 years here?
Yep. And I'm like, how in the world are we still visiting? I'm just kidding.
And we almost started, we visited in the spring, late spring, right uh-huh. before it started getting hot. But check this out. It is April still, and it was 90 degrees. My computer had a meltdown because we left it in the car for like 2 hours, and I thought it was toast.
Oh, yeah. I thought we lost the computer for sure. Like, we've lost a lens. I've lost a computer. At least we have insurance.
I know. I was like, oh, we're in Phoenix.
Uh-huh. I'm an insurance agent, so all of our equipment's protected.
But one thing that's completely different about Phoenix that I never even knew about, besides the hiking, which we did first, mm-hmm. was the brewery scene. How much has changed over the last couple of years. Oh, my gosh. So I think Arizona was a little late to get into the beer scene because yeah. their laws were changing. Mm-hmm. And so I think 4 years ago is when the boom started. Mm-hmm. And wow, it's boomed.
It has boomed big.
Every time we've gone back for the last couple of years, it's like, whoa, you guys have doubled and doubled. It was like, oh, yeah, there's like maybe two or three breweries. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, there's like 6 to 10. It's like now there's 15. It's like they just keep jumping out of nowhere.
Just grow, which is awesome. Because when we first went to Phoenix, I don't think there were any breweries at all. Then we went back and we found like two breweries, like mm-hmm. two or three max. And we went to those at that time.
Small batch breweries.
Small batch breweries, for sure. And now when we wanted to plan this trip, it's like, okay, let's take a step back. And in my head, I'm still like, there's only a couple breweries. No, there were so many. It was hard to even choose which ones to go to. But I'm very grateful for the ones we picked. And one of them, Wren House, is one that we frequent almost every time we go down anyway.
Yeah, Wren House is definitely my favorite. But before all that, we did hiking.
We did.
So we went to Thunderbird Mountain, which mm-hmm. is right down, it was like, what, 2 miles from my parents' house.
Yeah, not far at all.
Yeah, and so it was a super nice hike. It's busy as usual. Arizona hikes are always busy.
They are.
But it was fun. We got there at like 9 o'clock, which mm-hmm. is a little later for Arizona time, especially starting to get to summer because you want to do that like 6 a.m. hike so you're not dying on the trail.
At 9 a.m., it was still like in the 80s.
And get heat exhaustion.
I guess people die from hiking in Arizona a lot, right? Yeah. It's like a normal thing. People just underestimate how much water they have.
Yeah, I mean, it's hot.
I know it is. Well, I'm not used to it. I'm from Virginia. So every time we go, your stepdad's like, you got enough water? You got enough water? And I'm like, dude, like, why do I need so much water? I don't understand.
I know.
Like, give me the beer. Why are you forcing water on me?
We don't want your water.
But I get it because so many people on these hikes and just being outside, I guess we'll just pass out and it's big for tourists. So anytime we go somewhere, his stepdad packs at least 4 bottles of water, I think for us, because he knows we're not planning on taking any water anywhere.
Yeah, but this hike was super cool. They had a bunch of switchbacks. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of unique things going on the trail. They had mm-hmm. like the old saguaro cactus sticks you can use as hiking sticks. They actually left them there for people just to grab and use. Then the hike is really cool because at the top, you kind of get like a little surprise. Like, hey, you made it to the top. There's a big flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty cool. And then there's a big like staging area where everyone can kind of go up there, hang out, and then look at the view of the city of Phoenix and... Mm-hmm. Which I was really surprised about. It wasn't super smoggy.
It was clear.
It was clear.
I don't think I've ever mm-hmm. seen any kind of hike be that clear. And I'm like, perfect.
So it was a very nice morning. Yes, great way to segue into.
It was Easter morning.
Oh, it was Easter morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great way to segue into drinking some beer.
It was. It was a very nice way into drinking beer. Mm-hmm. So after that, we went to Wren House Brewing Co. And they're in it's a 1920s like little bungalow that they've essentially transformed into their brewery. So like the old shiplap's still there, the fireplace is original. I love it. I just love being in that environment. They had the subway. So that was the big thing. We met a couple locals there and they were like, guys, they just got air conditioning like 2 weeks ago. This is so great. And it was so funny how that was the common theme. It's a super pop. Both places are very popular, but I guess Wren without that air conditioning.
And we got super lucky because it just happened to be a Saturday where there was no bottle release or can release.
Yeah.
So they typically do a can release every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess a little history lesson, not history, but a little like
background.
Background. So the owners were a couple of IT people, and they were like, hey, we want to open up a brewery. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just hire the best brewers in Arizona and make really good beer? And so that's what they did. They went out, they found the best brewers in Arizona, opened it up, and it kind of gave them free rein to make whatever they want. And so they are the, I would say, the pinnacle of the breweries, like idea-wise and trending-wise and
taste-wise.
And I guess their can releases, the line is out the door and like around the street.
Well, so a lot of their artwork is their can labels. So they have a whole wall of just can labels. They have pictures of them. They're on their t-shirts and stuff like that. So they're very big on the artwork involved with it. And actually art was a theme, but they're just really big on a lot of the art that goes into brewing as well as like the canning and everything. So I can see that. They won a ton of awards.
They got dinosaurs everywhere.
I do have random dinosaurs everywhere. It's pretty cute.
Little toy dinosaurs. I guess it somehow started and then it just went crazy. And so they're everywhere. But I do like how they kind of emphasize their artwork and they almost frame it out. So they build all these for each canning like release or series, they'll use these like wood frames and then they'll put their cans in there and then they'll put it on the wall like it's a picture. And it's super cool.
It is pretty cool.
But their beers
were like shadow boxes.
Their beers were unbelievable.
Their beers were amazing.
They were just so flavorful and just full of life. And you're just like, how do you do this? And they, I guess everyone else is loving it because they had expanded. When we got there, they had just ripped out their smaller tanks and their production room is tiny. And they've got these giant tanks in this production room now. And it's like from floor to ceiling. And I guess they're just constantly brewing, just constantly
pumping out new
stuff. Great place. We're definitely, every time we go to Phoenix, I think that's going to be our jam. That's going to be our spot.
And they have, we don't want to spoil too much because there's also the video, but they have a lot of little quirky things about them. That's awesome. Like it's very just unique. And it was a lot of fun. They were super, super cool people.
Yeah.
You talked with Sean, the brewer. Got some details into the back end things. We met, again, one of the locals. It's funny, he's a wine distributor and likes to drink beer on the weekends. So he was able to give us some insights. He bought us a beer that we were able to split. It was this crazy stout.
Yeah, they do like a cellar program or they do a cellar release, but they're pricey. But the beers there are just absolutely insane.
I even liked it. And when it comes to stouts, I can be a little finicky, especially when they're high in alcohol volume. Mm-hmm. But this was... It was really smooth. It was another one we had to be, it was a trip in general we had to be careful with just because the locals are so excited about the beer. They want you to try like their favorite. And then of course, like we're getting our own flight and then there's just so many selections. We, you know, we and it's, you know, 100 degrees. So it's one of those ones you have to be a little careful with. With it being so hot too, I was worried about getting a little wasty pants, you know?
And I think we were at point where we're like, uh-oh, it's time to go to the next brewery.
It was like time to stop, drink some water, recoup.
Well, and we had to keep in mind that we were doing an interview style at the next brewery.
Yes.
Which we might as well just go into.
We might as well. Helio Basin. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. That was good timing.
But so Helio Basin, we went there to talk to the owners, right?
Yep. So Mike and Dustin. And... So Mike's background is he was in the military. He seems more like the operational side. And then Dustin got into brewing, you know, really early on and he's the head brewer. And they're both really cool people. We didn't get any footage of the food or any pictures of the food, but their food, they had these beer cheese nachos. Oh, because we knew we were meeting the family for dinner, but we also knew that we were hungry and hot and probably needed some food in our bellies.
Right.
That was one of the best decisions we made.
Oh, yeah. And they had your white cheese.
Oh, they did have my creamy white cheese. It was so good. It was beer cheese. It's awesome. So food was amazing. And going back to the artwork theme, they use a local artist for all their canning and this huge mural on their like back tasting room wall.
Yeah. And then we talked about the can itself on our last podcast, which was, what was our last podcast? We've been doing so many back to back.
Paso Robles.
So,
well, actually both of them.
So if you listen to that podcast, we kind of described the cans and they're really cool. They're probably some of my favorite cans that we've interacted with or seen.
That, I mean, the can made it into the thumbnail for the YouTube video.
Yeah.
That's how like good it was. And it, well, on top of that, one of their cans is our colors. It's like very on brand.
We gotta check out that podcast.
You do. It's a good one. Paso and Pomona. We talk about their cans in both because we got some beer out of it. So that's kind of what we've been drinking. But now we're changing it up, of course.
Gotta do some wine.
We do have to do some wine.
But that was it, really. In Helio Basin, we did a tour. We did a little bit of interview. All that's going to be in the YouTube video. We featured a lot about the interview in there and the unique ways they brew, because mm-hmm. when you look at the environment, it kind of throws you off because they're in a shopping center.
Right.
And so you're like, whoa, what's going on here? This doesn't look like a brewery. It looks like a restaurant bar.
Think of like, what's a good example? It's got like an awning. It just looks like more like a storefront or like a restaurant type bar.
And then you walk in and it's got the big bar with the, it looks like a restaurant. You're like, really was feeling that brewery vibe. But then they have a whole nother section. As soon as you walk in, you go down to the right, down the stairs, and then bam, it opens up. Mm-hmm. They have the glass windows. You can see all the fermentation tanks inside.
So cool.
They got ping pong. They got couches that you can just kind of hang out and play.
I guess you can play. You play ping pong.
Yeah, they have board games and they have stuff.
You can just play, man.
Play.
Just go there and play.
Why not?
Yeah.
But once you go down there, that was totally our vibe. I think we stayed down there for the rest of the time.
We did. Well, and down there, they could control the music a little easier. So that was just, that was our spot, man.
Yeah. And then we did a little of a tour.
Yeah.
And what I found really interesting about their brewing process is how small they were. So they're small batched, but their quality is insane.
Yes.
It is so perfect because he was going over like, how they do quality control. And we always wondered like, okay, small batch breweries, how do they consistently keep quality and consistency within all their beers?
It's a struggle.
And so we're like, hey, what? We started kind of asking those questions like, how do you do it? And he's like, well, at the end of the day, it's just being very detailed on your water. So they have like a reverse osmosis system that basically pulls out all the salts, all the impurities in the water. Mm-hmm. And so the base, if you were just go grab distilled water from the store, that's basically their base.
Yeah.
And then to keep it consistent, they'll put exactly how much salt, how many minerals, and that's how they do their base.
Yes.
And then they can build their beers from there.
Well, not only that, Dustin designed their own unique yeast. So that's another thing that he does for consistency is they have like their yeast that they use. And just again, another layer of their really attention to detail, but their beers are probably, I feel like when you drink it, you can tell that it's a well thought out, like every detail thought about, like it just feels very just clean.
Yeah.
And he even talks about how, you know, with hazies and things like that, I think other brewers were picking on him like, well, why do you have it so clear? And that's just who he is. That's what he wants. And it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Yeah. And there's
that'll
so
be
cool
another
people.
One of our spots when we go back.
Oh, yeah. That it's impossible not to. The hard part about this is each time we go somewhere, we obviously want to try something new, take you guys along. But then we get somewhere and it's so good that I'm like, I don't really know if I want anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just want that. Is that wrong? Just to want the same thing over
just
and over?
Just over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always going to be producing new stuff. Releases anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think Helio Basin is going to try and focus on keeping consistent flagship beers.
Yes.
As where Ren, I think, is just continuously changing.
Yeah, they're just doing something new and different. Do they even have a flagship?
I don't even know. I don't know.
I don't think they do. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah. But that was our adventure. Mm-hmm. YouTube video is up. You got to check that out.
Yes,
it's
you do.
Going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is a good one.
It's a good one.
Other than that, I think that's it for our adventures. We did stop by one more place. Mm-hmm. We'll probably
Goldwater.
That was so cool. It was in Scottsdale. Well, we're going to have to go back and do another beer tour and maybe we'll kind of feature that one because that one was
that in Hilton.
Oh, in Hilton, yeah.
Again, we already have like this list of next.
The
places.
One in Scottsdale was so awesome.
It was. You guys would love
it. It's our vibe. It's got that super industrial. It's in Old Town Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah.
You just
we'll save
go
it, yeah.
there or we'll talk about it somewhere else.
Yes, we will. We'll talk about it in the future for sure. If you're in Arizona listening to this, you're near Scottsdale, please check out Goldwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is it for today.
Yeah. So be sure to check us out on Instagram and YouTube at the Cellar District.
We're going to post photos every day, as usual, and videos are going up every Monday. So be tuned for that. And I think we're just going to chat with you guys next week.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.